As we prepare to dig into the Word this morning, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. You know, as we have been looking at the Scriptures, we had Brother Juan Fernandez visiting with us and giving us a great challenge in the Word last week. The week before that, we talked about the Lordship, embracing the Lordship of Christ in salvation. And we explored how that God's Word reveals to us and reminds us of that in order to accept Him as our Savior, we are also accepting Him as the Lord and King of our life. Now, you know, it's very possible that as we look and we have seen, it's possible that some would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and not learn until later that He is the Lord of their life. And exactly what does that mean? When, as believers, when we embrace the Lordship of Christ, we're embracing Him as the one and only authority over us, right? We're looking at Christ as the one that makes the difference. You know, when we talk about the Lordship of Christ, it's simply what makes the difference between a believer and unbeliever. A believer has heard that Jesus is Lord, but the unbeliever has heard that there is a Lord, but yet the believer has made Him Lord of his life. You see the difference? We often fail to understand the Lordship of Christ when we claim that we're trying to find a way to fit Him into our schedule, when in reality He is our life. Amen? As Christians, we think that we can just serve God when we're able or when we feel like we're ready to serve. But in reality, when we become a child of God, we have already stepped into a life of service and surrender to our Lord. Today, many believers have claimed Jesus as their Savior, but have failed to make Him Lord of their lives. These are many of the main thoughts that I want you to have today as we enter into the Scriptures and we find that Jesus truly is Lord. And we often come today, as we have today on a Sunday, to proclaim Him as Lord. But my question is, and my challenge to you today, is that as believers, have we embraced the Lordship of Christ and that we just not simply talk about it or sing about it, but that we go out and we live about it? And that's probably not real good grammar, but it sounds good, didn't it? You know, I had a roll going there. You know, we talk about these things, as we much did in our Sunday school class this morning, is that not just knowing, but growing and then sowing. It sounds much the same way as is our theme, knowing, living, and sharing Christ. Why is it that we keep getting bombarded by that? Because that is the reality of what God is doing. Jesus is Lord. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing will stop that. Nothing will overpower that. He is Lord. Present tense, past tense, future. It's already done. He is Lord. Established now. And so when people come to the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they're simply acknowledging what already is a reality. He owns you. He made you. He created you. And He bought you with His own blood upon the cross of Calvary. You belong to Him in every way. And simply becoming a child of God, we surrender to that reality. We allow that to be a reality in our life. But yet, when we say allow, in reality, we allow Him to do what He already has the authority to do. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, he says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, as we come before You today, we humbly bow before the authority of Your Word, the authority of Your Son. Lord, we thank You for loving us. Lord, You've redeemed us by the blood of Your own Son. You've given us mercy. You've given us forgiveness of sin. But Lord, we have seen You have exalted in the name of Jesus into a place of authority, all authority. All authorities will bow before You. All kings will surrender to You. And all creation will bow. Lord, may we be in that same number in obedience to you as our Savior. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Impress upon our hearts today to surrender to your authority. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scriptures here, we find that as Paul was writing to the Philippians, he was revealing to them to follow the example of Christ, striving and suffering and sharing and living in Christ. And so he gives all of this victory in chapter 1. Then in verse 2, he focuses upon the humility of the Lord Jesus, that he, being the King of all kings, being God himself, has laid aside some of his attributes, not ceasing to be God, but he lay aside his attributes to come and to live as a servant. And doing so, he lived as a servant to be in faithfulness to the Father, to serve those that he has come to, but also to go so far as to the death upon the cross. He allowed the humiliation of who he really was so that it might bring life to you and I. He was allowed himself to be humiliated in such a way that even the lowliest, even the lowest sinner, the lowest of individuals could come and he would meet them right where they were. It was by this death upon the cross, by his faithful obedience and perfect faithfulness to the Father, that his name was exalted. Now, some of this is a little confusing because you're thinking, well, Jesus is already God, so how could he be exalted even higher? He attained to a title as we would know as the God-man. No one else has ever seen and ever reached this title, but Jesus has. He is exalted because he went to the cross fulfilling the perfect plan of salvation. There was no other way made right before God on the day of judgment. But Jesus only, by giving his life as the perfect atoning sacrifice, would pay for all of that. So the Lordship, the exalted name of Jesus, we see that the Lordship title is eternally linked with the name of Jesus. Think about that for a moment. They are inseparable because Jesus is that highly exalted one. The Father has exalted him to that place. But he's exalted that place as the Lamb. You know, as we have sung this morning, when we sing of the Lamb, we stop and think that, well, is that two separate things? No, we're finding that as he is the Lamb, we're seeing that he has become God-man. That sacrifice exalted him that he stand and he alone stands as the captain of our souls. He has earned the right to own us. You know, in our society today, thinking of anyone ever owning us is almost ready to fight, aren't we? Those are fighting words. Why? Because you've never seen an owner or a master like Jesus. Jesus gave his life voluntarily. He came from heaven. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross, and he died as the worst sinner there ever was. But because of his death, he brought life. He arose on the third day, raising victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, and then ascended back to the Father in a place of eternal power and authority as he sits today as God-man. This is the excitement of our worship today. This is the excitement of that it has established him, one that we know, one that we can relate to, but more than that, he has all authority as a man, but also as God. You know, his death upon the cross will be forever remembered. Never really thought about this, but in studying for this message, that all the great Nobel Peace Prize winners, all of the greatest accolades that could ever be given to anyone in the military, the greatest accolades that could be given to those who have had great medical discoveries that we still benefit from today, no matter how great the award, no matter how big the medal, no matter how tall the statue, all these will fade away into obscurity. But the name of Jesus will never be forgotten. It will never cease to be worshipped. It will never cease to be praised. And in fact, it will be the very center of our worship. Warren Wiersbe had a quote that I printed up here for you. If you can't write real fast, just take a picture of your phone and you can write it down when you get home. He says, "Great names come and go, but the name of Jesus remains. The devil still hates it, the world still opposes it, but God still blesses it, and we can still claim it. In the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks the door of prayer and the treasury of God's grace. It's the weapon that defeats the enemy and the motivation that compels our sacrifice and service. It's the name that causes our hearts to rejoice and our lips to sing His praise." Isn't that an astounding thought? That we truly can, as we have been challenged this morning already in our song, that we have surrounded around one individual. We have surrounded ourselves with and submitted to one authority. So often it troubles our hearts when we hear people say that when we come and say, well, we're all going after the same thing, when we find out that there are different doctrines and different beliefs and sometimes even different Bibles, and they say that we're all going to the same thing. The reality is there's only one throne to bow before, and that is the throne of Jesus. It is only by that name that we have seen a soul saved. So often people will ask me, well, do they have to recognize Jesus in order to be saved? According to the Scriptures, yes, an emphatic yes. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. But it was also by the name of Jesus that the sick were healed, the lame were able to walk, the blind was able to see, and the dead were raised. It was all by this name and by His authority. In Revelation chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters, it says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Jesus will always be linked together in His worship. Secondly, what does it mean to say that as a Christian, that Christ is Lord of my life? We simply yield our lives to Him. What does it mean that we yield? We give Him full control. We give Him the control that He is worthy of. We give Him the control that He asks of us. Amen? Have you ever noticed that God never puts us in a place that we're not able to bear, but yet He doesn't call us to a place that we're always comfortable with? He encourages us to grow. Because without that stretching of who we are and the stretching of what we know, we would never grow. We'd never grow in our faith. Amen? But yet as we yield to Him, we are surrendering to His authority over our lives, and we're giving it all for Him to direct and to own. Now this is an interesting thing. This is when we kind of get back to talking about living as a living sacrifice. You know, the only problem with a living sacrifice is that it's a tendency to crawl back off the altar. It's up to the sacrifice to stay, right? That is what we're talking about in surrender. We surrender to Him on a daily basis, but yet also into each and every area of our lives, whether it's our finance, home, work, our education, our free time, our hobbies, our health, whatever it is that we are surrendering to Him. What areas of your life need to be placed in God's control right now? Once we have learned to yield to Christ, as that we are also to acknowledge His ownership over us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, I think kind of helps us to comprehend what we're talking about. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What do you have that does not belong to God? Nothing, right? The only thing that we have is ours is a choice to surrender to Him. The only word that we have that is our own is either we say, "Yes, Lord," or in rebellion we say, "No." That's all that we have. And each of those will carry a consequence. Amen? Each of those will carry a consequence. When we recognize Him as a sovereign authority over our lives, we will look to every decision so that it will pass through His hands first. You know, there's a lot of things in our society today, and it seems as though the freedoms that we have in a nation and a country that we have has actually built a wall between us and surrendering to the Lord. We're too quick to be defensive of what is mine and what is my right. In reality, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we realize we have no rights. We belong to Him, whatever He chooses, and so He chooses, that is what my life and what my future will be. Sometimes we think that, well, that's hard to say. That's hard to surrender to. And that is from a root of not knowing who God is. If we truly knew and understood who God was and His love for us and His perfections of working in and through us, we never ever would ever question or doubt again. Our questioning is not upon the character of God. Our questioning comes because of our lack of knowledge of God. Think of that for a moment. Why do you think we have so many classes? Why do you think we have small groups? Why do you think we have Bible studies and opportunities to get into God's Word? We're not going to understand His authority and the power of His authority, but more than that, His ability to guide us as our Master until we know Him. So when we say that Christ is Lord of my life, so we've talked about what does it mean to say that He is Lord of my life? We're to yield, we are to acknowledge His ownership over us, and then thirdly, when we say that Christ is Lord of my life, I will live in obedience to Him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus provides this question. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, there are many of the Pharisees and scribes that were coming and proclaiming to know God, but yet rejecting the Lord Jesus. What happens? They've rejected God. Amen? You reject Christ, you reject God. If you accept God, you've accepted Jesus. They're inseparable. And so the word is said. So he asked, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. You know, when we talk about what is it, really matter if I proclaim Jesus as Lord? Can I not just view my religion and my faith as my own? And I can, but the foundations that you're building upon will not withstand the test of time. A servant will never dictate to the master. So for us to say no to the Lord is simply unacceptable, unreasonable, and unconscionable, right? If we call Him Lord, would you ever put the same two words in one sentence? No, Lord, it doesn't make sense. Amen? It contradicts our proclamation of Him. It contradicts our faith in Him. It contradicts what He is doing in our lives today. My last thought, is the Lordship of Christ a settled issue in your life today? Philippians chapter 2, I went on to verses 12 and 13. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you ever wonder if maybe that we have not been living in victory in our lives because we haven't simply surrendered to God to do what He wills in our life? We have not sought the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction in every thought, every decision, and every future planning, but we've tried to do it on our own, in our own power, and with our own intellect. You notice often people are asking, well, Pastor, if you could give me some things to do, maybe I would be more faithful. No amount of work that you will ever do will bring you to a point of understanding the Lordship of Christ until you surrender to it. Are you with me? No amount of talk can be done from this pulpit. No amount of singing could be done from this stage If you refuse to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, you're never going to know the freedom, the power, and the life change that comes after. When the Lordship of Christ is settled in a believer's life, we will see a motivation. We will find a heartfelt desire, an unstoppable and insatiable appetite for God Himself. You know, as pastors, we get a chance and the duty and the privilege of teaching church members how to use their time, their talent, their tithe, and their testimony. But you know what? You're never going to do it until you realize that you're doing this in service to your master. But do you realize the freedom in that? You don't do things out of regret. You don't do things out of, well, I have to. Someone's going to push me or someone's going to nag me. But when you surrender to the Lordship of Christ, it's your calling. Amen? It gives you great pleasure. It gives you great joy in being called by the eternal King, the very King that all will bow to, the very King who has accomplished and has overcome the world. Amen? There's no pleasure in being nagged to do anything, is there? But there's great joy and service when you know it's your place, when you know it's your duty, and He's willing to give you any and all that you need to do so faithfully. The Lordship of Christ should be demonstrated in the life of the believer. I want us to look back at Philippians 2, verse 11. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, first of all, we look at this and we realize that all of those who do not accept the Lord Jesus on the earth will die in condemnation and separation from God forever and ever. That's what the Scripture tells us. They die in their sin. They will be separated from God forever and ever. But even though they rejected God, they will, at one point in time, in place, they will bow the knee and they will confess Jesus as Lord. Now the sad thing is they will confess this to their own condemnation. Do you see? The truth never changed. The reality will never change. Jesus is Lord. If you are alive today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have the opportunity to do so and escape the condemnation that awaits those who have rejected Christ. But those that will do this on this day, standing before God in judgment, actually standing before Christ in judgment, it will be to their condemnation. But here's something. Well, how does this work in the believer's life, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. The word confess actually means to agree. To agree. All will agree. Yes, Jesus, you are Lord. In fact, we find the angels in heaven. The demons will proclaim, yes, you are Lord. All of creation will proclaim, yes, you are Lord. Why? Because He is. Do you realize as we proclaim the Lord, the Lordship of Christ in our lives today, we're living a life that agrees that He is Lord. Why is it so important that we demonstrate the Lordship of Christ in our lives? Because others are watching. The lost are listening. And if we confess Him Lord of our life, does our life agree? Do our actions agree? Where are you today? If we could sum up the Christian life in just three things. This is not original with me, but it really gripped my heart when I seen it. There's three A's of the Christian service. If we could sum up, Lord, how is it that I could acknowledge the Lordship of Christ in my life? This is what we would say to Him today. Lord, anywhere, anytime, at any cost. Now, I don't know about you, but that is kind of sends chills down my back a little bit because I haven't been asking those questions. We see that God has all of anywhere with our own abilities and our own strength. But He says, I want you to ask anywhere, anytime, at any cost. But I'm going to come right beside you. I'm going to grab you by the arm and I'm going to carry you right through this wherever we go, whenever we go, whatever it's going to take. I'm with you. Acknowledging the Lordship of Christ doesn't set ourselves out on an island all by ourselves, but rather we come before the throne room of God. We bow before Him in the humble reverence that He deserves, And He lifts us up with the power of God to be a servant. Isaiah was called. He was called to a great calling. When Isaiah got there before the throne of God, he realized, Lord, I think You got the wrong one. I'm a mess. I'm a man of unclean lips, and You want me to go and speak. But yet God had the answer. He cleansed him, He made him right, and He sent him out. Folks, if you don't embrace the Lordship of Christ, witnessing, Bible study, personal discipleship will all seem like a drudgery. But it will change lives, not only in your own home, but in our communities. Does your life agree with the confession that we have made? Do you agree today that Jesus is Lord? Say amen. Does your life say amen to that statement as well? And as you examine your life today in all areas, have you asked the Lord anytime, anywhere, at any cost? Let's bow our heads together this morning. That the realities of who You are. So we hear in Revelation 5 that, Lord, the Lamb who was slain for us is the King and the ruler over all things. We praise You for that. We thank You for that. That You're able to secure our salvation, that You're able to secure eternal life, that You're able to secure our lives and our futures, to all bring down and boil down to one point, is to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, there's no greater calling, there's no greater purpose that we could invest ourselves, our time, and all that we are in. So, Lord, we've been challenged with some challenging questions today. But, Lord, without You, we cannot accomplish them. Without You, it becomes pointless. Without You, there is no hope. Lord, my prayer today is that there's someone who does not know You as their Savior, that they will resolve that today, not to go another day. But, Lord, as Your children are here today as well, we proclaim You as Lord. But You ask us, if we call You Lord, are we doing what You have asked us to do? And Lord, in each heart, I know that You're working this morning. Give them the courage to turn to You. Maybe it just calls for a time of repentance, to repent of the time that's been wasted and ask You to simply restore them once again. Maybe some have been battling for so long or tired and discouraged. Lord, we pray that Your supernatural power will come upon them and empower them for the calling that You have called them to. Help us to overcome discouragement. Discouragement is only a temporary thing. For Lord, when we stand in Your presence, it will no longer be. Help us as we long for that day. Today, help us to be strong in service to You. Lord, bless Your church. Use us in this community, that we will be confessing You as Lord all throughout this week, that others may see and come to know You. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.